Let's Talk Money with Brian Jacobson. He is the chief economist at Annex Wealth Management. Happy Friday, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's really an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
So everything in the green today. I think that was kind of nice after the way the week had gone, but it demonstrates that it was such a volatile week. I mean, yesterday, the indexes are up like 2%, then they end the day down. Why all the volatility this week in your estimation?
Well, I think this past week, there were a couple things that really kind of came to the surface. Number one was NVIDIA's earnings. A lot of people were anticipating that, thinking that being the largest company in a lot of these indices, kind of as they go, so goes the rest of the market. And their earnings were actually a lot better than expected. It's just that maybe there was a little bit of profit taking in the early part of Thursday because it started up like 5%, and then it ended down 3%. You don't see those types of moves on really no new information all that often. So I think maybe a little profit taking, but then also the Fed. I can always blame the Federal Reserve for anything that happens. And a lot of the speakers were talking about how they're not sure if they should cut rates or not. But today, John Williams of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and he's a voting member, he basically said, yeah, I think we could probably cut in the near term here, and that really helped turn the ship around.
Let's talk about NVIDIA, take a little bit of a dive on that, Brian. So on Wednesday night, after hours, NVIDIA's earnings come out, and so they're good. They beat the street, they beat the expectation. The next day, the job news is better than expected. I understand profit-taking, but I don't understand. I woke up Thursday excited because I said, this is going to be a good day for the markets. Yeah. NVIDIA's stuff was great, and it started that way. What did the guys who actually do the trading see that the rest of us didn't see that caused it to crash late in the day? That's too strong a word. Caused it to really dip late in the day.
True. It dipped later in the day. And really, I mean, in fairness, from its peak just a few weeks ago, it's down about 13.5%, but it is still up quite a bit year to date. So, you know, a little bit of maybe people getting a little too ahead of themselves in terms of valuations. But the thing that we really saw during the day with the trading was around about the time that the markets in Europe were closing, that's when NVIDIA and the broader market in the U.S. began to go down as well. Sometimes that's an indication that what's driving it is more just trading and not investing. It's the individuals who see it's up 5%. I'm going to try to lock in my short-term gains here. And then all of a sudden, selling begets selling, and it just feeds on itself. So that's where I think that maybe it was a little bit more technical in nature and not really driven by fundamentals.
Tell me about the interest rate worries for next month.
There are plenty of them where the Federal Reserve, they meet on December 9th and 10th, and the policy statement comes out on the 10th. Earlier in this week, there were a number of people who sit on the Federal Open Market Committee. That's the group of 12 people who they get to vote on policy. And they were saying that they are not that worried about the jobs numbers because they don't really know what the jobs numbers are. They're still worried about inflation. But then today we had John Williams of the New York Fed say that, well, even though we didn't get we won't get the October or the November jobs numbers until after they meet, he said that there's enough other information out there to suggest that the labor market is okay, but it could be better. And it has been cooling, and he thinks that the balance of risks are that we're likely to see further slowing of job creation instead of seeing further acceleration of inflation. So when you kind of put those two pieces together, for him, it tilts the scales more towards cutting rates instead of staying pat where they are.
That's unfortunate because the jobs numbers were so good this past week.
You know, they were on the surface of it, but when you kind of dig into a little bit of the details, realize that these are subject to revisions. And in fact, the August and July numbers were revised lower. So this first number that we get for the month of September, it might get revised lower. So that's one thing. Another is that a lot of it is driven by still healthcare employment, which is fine. I mean, obviously that's a great thing, but if that's the real only source of strength, and we've had 6 months in a row of a decline in manufacturing employment. We've had 9 months in a row of a decline in federal employment, and that's likely to move lower even faster. We've had declines in mining and logging. So in some of these other areas, it's almost like a lot of the strength is somewhat concentrated and maybe a little superficial.
Annex Wealth Management Chief Economist Brian Jacobson's with us. We talk about NVIDIA. We talk about AI a lot. Brian, what's the best way to protect your portfolio if you're worried about an AI bubble, which I keep reading about?
Yeah, well, diversification, right? The two cardinal rules of investing, patience and diversification. And in terms of diversification, I think we really saw that today. The part of the market that did best when everything was green, it was actually small cap stocks, which have been underperforming those very large growth tech AI related parts of the market. And so having that diversification in terms of the actual protection that you can have, you can't really protect yourself from the equity market and still be in it. And so that's where the diversification and the patience really come into play. Make sure that it's aligned with your plan and your willingness and ability to take on risk. Like this past week, I think was a great opportunity for people to test whether or not their portfolios are really aligned, not just with their plan, but with their attitude towards risk. If you're losing sleep over the decline in the markets, probably a good indicator that's an opportunity to maybe sit down with a pro and look at what is your actual willingness and ability to take on risk.
Brian, what would be a positive or negative to the stock market when it comes to AI and its future?
Well, I think that one of the big positives would be the use of it as a general purpose technology. So where it's actually profitable for businesses to use the technology, and it's not just like you kind of are shoveling coal into the furnace, throwing more money after it, just trying to make the latest and greatest large language models and just having an alternative to, you know, Google for doing searches. If it actually has legitimate business applications to improve, you know, the service that you deliver to clients or the product that you sell to customers. And some businesses are doing that. Walmart announced how they are using artificial intelligence. And in fact, they announced that they're going to be switching their listing for their stock from the New York Stock Exchange to the NASDAQ, just to highlight that they view themselves as being more of a technology first company. So that, I think, would be a positive in terms of the profitable uses of the technology. And the big negative is that we just kind of find out that the emperor has no clothes, right? In terms of that old story where it's like, okay, this is great, it's shiny, but ultimately it doesn't end up being really all that useful or valuable.
Annex Wealth Management Chief Economist Brian Jacobson, have a great weekend, Brian.
You too. Thank you so much.
So to Brian's point about year-to-date, how everything's doing, year-to-date, the S&P 500 is up 13%, even with this bad week. Year-to-date, the NASDAQ, if you have money there, is up year-to-date big also, 15%.
Oh, wow.
The Dow, year-to-date, if that's where your money sits, is also up almost 9%. So that's even with a really bad week.